You are listening to KFGO. I am Rob Kupek, filling in for Tyler Axis. Bare Naked Ladies, they're coming to Moorhead. Super excited about that. I am thinking I will try to go and get some tickets for that. They are one of my favorite bands from the 90s, so excited.
And I imagine put on a really fun show.
I guess. I have a couple of little things. They do like a little game show in there, and they always make up, a song about the town they went to. I have the one from Grand Forks when they played up there, and it's like, Grand Forks, we're five stupid dorks, and we're happy to be with you tonight. It's very funny. So I will tell, Eric, last night, I had the weirdest dream last night. I was floating on an ocean of orange soda.
Orange soda.
Yeah. And I'm not sure. Maybe it was less of a dream and more of a fantasy. See what I did there? Uh-huh. There we did. And with that, I'm sure Senator Lindsey Port just hung up the phone. I am not listening to this fool's dad jokes. That is not what I signed up for. It's bad enough I have to deal with him in the Senate, and now here he is taking me up on a Friday. Welcome, Senator Lindsey Port. How are you today?
I'm doing really well. It's nice to chat with you, Rob.
Yeah. So Senator Lindsey Port was, I mean, her monumental heavy lift, maybe the heaviest lift of all last year, was she shepherded the cannabis bill through. We have 20 committees and the 18 did you go through?
Yeah, I think 16 in the end.
16 in the end. Okay. I have four committees. I heard it in three. My running joke was last year I did not hear it in higher ed, which I thought was a little funny. That's my one cannabis joke. But I know there is a little bit more coming with that, but I know you are much more than cannabis, and there's a couple of other things. You've got some crazy great consumer legislation that I want to talk about in a couple of minutes here. But there, because it has been in the newscast here today, the part about the lottery system, and I know we talked a little bit about this week too. Explain why we are going to make a little bit of a switch of how we are going to give out those licenses going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's not really a huge shift. This was already an option for the Office of Cannabis Management to use if we had more applicants than licenses to give out. So it was already in the existing legislation last year. The plan is just to move it forward as sort of the main way that we would do these licenses partially because there's been so much interest already. And what we've seen in other states who have used merit-based systems is that when you sort of say merit-based system, what you're saying is someone's going to create a list of the things that they think make good businesses. And then that's going to be the criteria used through that rulemaking to decide who, you know, meets those requirements, meets those things that will make the best business. And what we've seen in other states is that it is a system that is really easily gamed and really heavily favors people who have large access to money, people who are already, you know, working in other states, and actually really ends up being a detriment to the social equity applicants, which we built this bill around. Nothing is foolproof, right? We're definitely going to get sued over this legislation, no matter what. But what we're trying to do is really look at what has been successful in other states at withstanding lawsuits, and what will make the best opportunity for the bill to really lift up social equity applicants, lift up those small businesses that we really want. And I will also say today was the very first day that we heard this bill. We heard it in the Commerce Committee. It's only been out for about a week. So we are very early in the process of what this will look like. And just like last year, I plan to take meetings with literally anybody who wants to talk about this, because it has to be really based in Minnesota values and Minnesota community.
Yeah. And what other, and I know we're hearing it, I think Monday in agriculture, we're hearing it there. So what other, and I know there's some fixes in here and people are like, oh, you're fixing it already. And I'm like, well, it's a brand new thing. And we're still fixing alcohol legislation, which is going on forever. So are there any other, besides the, you know, this lottery switch, are there any other key things in kind of this new round of cannabis legislation that's coming through?
Yeah, the other really, I think, critical piece of it is we had planned to sunset the medical program and the hemp-based low-dose programs that already exist right now. We plan to move them over to the Office of Cannabis Management and sunset them next year. And what instead the office is proposing is to move those over this summer so that that existing infrastructure can just shift over to the Office of Cannabis Management now. And those businesses can really begin to grow and work within the existing infrastructure. And it also will move enforcement of those programs over to the Office of Cannabis Management so that they can start building up that arm. You know, we've had reports around Minnesota of low-dose edibles that really, without good testing, without good enforcement, there's stuff on the shelves that far exceeds what we have legalized. And we want to make sure that Minnesota consumers can trust when they go into the store and buy 5-milligram gummies, that it is a 5-milligram gummy in that bag and not something else. You know, I don't know, Rob, what if you have consumed any of these low-dose edibles. It sort of sounded like it with your orange drink dream.
Believe it or not, no.
But we want to make sure folks can trust, you know, what is on the shelves. And so moving that over to the Office of Cannabis Management this summer will allow them to really set up enforcement to make sure that folks are following the rules.
All right. That's and so, well, thanks for doing the second heavy lift on all this. All right, we got to take a quick break. And then when we come back, I want to talk about one of your other favorite things, Taylor Swift.
I'm ready.
All right. All right. You are listening to KFGO, the Mighty 790. If you want to text in a question, 35270. Good afternoon once again. I'm Rob Kupek filling in for Tyler Axis. Join along here with Eric Johnson. Eric, I had a friend, you know, would believe this. He got kidnapped by mimes.
What?
They did unspeakable things to him.
All right, that might be my favorite. You saved the best
for
last.
All right, there you go.
I like that
there
one.
We go. Save the best for last. Quickly, a couple of quick texts here. Somebody wanted to know the gas tax. Yeah, there's that mailer that went out that said we're raising the gas tax $1 a gallon. There is no such legislation that is doing that. So please ignore that. That is just, you know, something they're trying to pass around, not happening. And another text about sports betting. Is it going to happen? That's a good question. I've said in the past that I do support sports betting, and they want to know why or not, where the taxes are going to go for that. Some of that in the new agreement right now, it's also to help some of those charities too, that we wrangled around with a little bit of that. So some of that money will go there. Some of it will also go to help with what we will see probably an increase with addiction to gambling. So that's where some of that money goes to. With that said, I am still on the line with us is Senator Lindsey Port, who not only was the carrier of the cannabis, she is carrying what is called the Ticketmaster or the Taylor Swift bill. So, Senator Port, can you describe exactly what that bill is?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is a bill that we've worked on to make sure that some of those hidden fees that come at the end of your ticket. You know, you buy a ticket for the Bare Naked Ladies concert coming up, and it, you know, it might say $125, but then you go through the checkout process, and right before you pay, it says, oh, there are $160 of fees here, and suddenly your ticket has doubled in price. This is a really common thing because we have what is certainly bordering on a monopoly in the ticket world. And these fees are sort of hidden at the end. So there is both a specific Taylor Swift themed Ticketmaster bill, which you signed on to, and I made you send me Taylor Swift puns or lyrics before I would let you sign on.
True.
And so that bill is there specifically to help with ticket pricing. And then we also have, I also am carrying a broader junk bills. Junk fees bill. There we go. Which looks broader industry-wide, sort of economy-wide, to get those hidden fees that pop up at the end of your transaction off of there and make sure folks are transparent about what things are actually going to cost.
All right. And I think that is, you know, obviously if it was, you know, it is one of those things, it's certainly a consumer issue, and it's a knowing up front what you are getting into, as opposed to now I am deep into this process and surprise, you're going to get whacked with a little fee on the end. So, it's really important. It's really frustrating. I think Las Vegas might've been the first time I ever got like resort fee. Like what?
Yes.
What is a, wait a minute. Wait, I got to pay to use the pool or whatever that is. What if I don't want to go in the pool? Do I not have to pay the resort fee? So that was one of those things, you get to the hotel and it is that. And other, you know, certainly, you know, like Airbnb is one of those sites that yep. I think people got so mad that there's like, oh, the cleaning fee at the end, that they've become at least a little more transparent on the front side of it too. But so many of those things, and particularly with the concert ticket world, it is super frustrating there. All right, so I am supposed to ask you from my hidden research team here. Oh, so you know,
oh, no.
are you a Swiftie, and have you been to a Taylor Swift concert?
I mean, I'm a 41 year old woman, so yes, I am definitely a Swiftie. Have very much enjoyed the last couple of years of Taylor's prominence, especially with two. Young girls who really like to get into it with me. And yes, I was lucky enough to go to the concert when she came to Minneapolis.
Okay. And is it true that you increased your football watching this season just for Taylor Swift?
100%. Yes. I have kind of faded off football in the last few years. I don't know, partially because all the important stuff happens when we're in session, and you're not always free to watch football with our legislative schedule. But especially this year, when my 10-year-old daughter asked me to start watching Chiefs games with her, just in case we might see Taylor Swift, we actually watched a lot of football towards the end of the season.
I see, and that's so all right. So you're bringing that home. Well, you know, and we only got like 1 minute left here, but like in terms of like your kids who are much younger, I mean, like what is it for them? Like when they see their mom on TV, you know, presenting one of these bills, when you get stuck in a news clip, how is that for them?
My 13-year-old is always nervous I'm going to say something that's going to embarrass her. And my 10-year-old, especially during campaign season, when you know this, mm-hmm. all those ads show
yes.
up on YouTube
yes.
all the time. Her friends are convinced I am very, very famous.
Well, my son, you know, being on television, my son always just knew I was going to say something embarrassing. And I proved that again this afternoon. All right, Senator Port, thanks so much for being with me this afternoon. I will see you in the Capitol on Monday in the Ag Committee. Have a great weekend. You are listening.
Sounds great.
You are listening to 790 KFGO. We've got UND Hockey versus Omaha pregame coming up next.